Welcome to the Property Couch, where each week you get to listen to two of Australia's leading property experts as they share with you the insider's guide to property investing.
Well, here we are on our very first episode of the Property Couch, and I've got with me Ben Kingsley, who is the chair of the Property Investment Professionals of Australia. How are you, Ben?
G'day, Ross. How are you?
Good, thank you. And of course, my role as the co-host of Location, Location, Location Australia on Foxtel's The Lifestyle Channel. So what we wanted to do is bring to you each week something that's very relevant to do with property investment. But today, Ben, we really want to talk about the reason that we wanted to put this podcast together in the first place.
Yep. So people don't stuff it up, pretty much. That's the reason why we want to bring this out to the Australian audience.
Yeah, true. Because, I mean, Ben, you recently were voted the Property Investment Advisor of the Year, and that was largely a peer-based award around, I guess, you being in a position where you're helping investors every day. And really, you're faced often with seeing people who are being given sales advice versus property investment advice. And I guess probably useful for our listeners to know, what's the difference?
Oh, well, there's a lot of difference. I'll even back it up a little bit and say, as the chair of PIPA, I get to see the complaints coming into into the association, not necessarily for our members. In fact, more often than not, it's from people who are looking for an area to vent their frustration around, you know, getting sold a lemon or getting bad advice. Actually, I wouldn't even call it advice. It's they get crap, basically.
They're sold to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then, yeah, when I am sort of sitting down in front of clients and working on building a property plan for them, obviously, if people have already started their portfolio, they've got two or three and they bring them in and we have a look at those properties and, you know, they've got properties in a mining town or something like that and they've been smashed, or they've bought a house and land package and they've been smashed, or, they've worked out that the house up the road that they could have bought off the same developer is $50,000 cheaper by going direct to the developer as opposed to going through the sales agent. So I think the message there and what this podcast is all about is we're going to pick a theme each week and answer a lot of questions around what's sort of happening in the property space and certainly in the investor space. And share a bit of that wisdom, pass it on. I mean, you know, pass it down, or what's that? How's that saying go?
Yeah, well, mate, you're saying, but I think we pass it, paying it forward.
What was that movie called? You know, Pass It On or something like that?
I think it was Pay It Forward.
Pay It Forward. We got it out there in the end, didn't we?
Well, I guess there's lots of people that want to get a lot of your time. Quite often from the popularity of the show, I get to a lot of people wanting to ask me. So it's kind of a forum that allows us to, you know, bring some really good quality information without there really being any sales pitch at the end of it. And the analogy that we've talked about a couple of times is, you know, the guy that's, been a barber, he's had his, you know, been cutting hair for 25 years in the same position, and he's charging $25 for a haircut. And in his sort of 30th year of business, someone comes and gets a store next door to him and opens it up, and they all of a sudden they're another barber shop. So it's in direct competition. And not only that, they put all their marketing out the front that says, $10 haircuts, and he's been charging $25 haircuts. So he's got a decision to make. Does he match him on price, or does he come up with some other strategy? And I think it's really clever how the story goes that he decides to put his marketing out the front of his shop that says, we fix $10 haircuts.
Yeah.
And I think that really is true for, you know, a lot of what we see when people come and chat to us about property investment. No, we actually fix bad sales advice, don't we?
We do. Look, and you know, that's what our business also does. I mean, you know, let's be honest. The primary driver for this business and certainly, you know, in terms of my skill sets, came from the fact that, you know, I started investing in property at 23. And I've had some bad advice early on. You know, I sold a property in Melbourne. I bought a property at the age of 23 for $120,000 across the road from mum and dad. So there's a classic case of buying what I knew rather than, you know, the knowledge that we take to the marketplace these days. So I bought that property. I bought it at auction with one bid. There's a great little story in that. I'll quickly, you know, sort of tell that story. So here I am as a young first-time buyer, and I go in, have a look through the property, and I know to be a little bit coy with the real estate agent, not to give too much away. So I'm thinking I've done a good job on that, and he doesn't know what I'm about. about to pay. And, you know, the auction starts and, you know, it gets to 119,500 and then I haven't put a bid in yet. And so I put one bid in and I win the property. And I'm thinking, geez, I've got a knack at this. And then all of a sudden the agent comes over and congratulates me and says, geez, I didn't think you'd come in. And I knew your market was 120 and I was in shock. I'm like, you know, so I turned around and I said, how did you know my property, you know, that I was up to 120? He goes, well, when you first came through the property, I subtly asked you, you know, roughly, what do you think this was worth? And I said, oh, probably wouldn't be worth any more than 120. So he, you know, he obviously knew a lot more than what I did. And that was a good learning session for me. So anyway, I bought that property. And, you know, as first home buyers coming into the market or even regular investors, that's a classic case of, you know, just small talk agents are building a case around you. So we'll go into that in other podcasts in terms of, you know, what are some of the tactics that agents use in terms of trying to understand your interest in a property. I then moved to Sydney for work commitments back in the day. And I go and get some advice from an accountant/solicitor. I'm thinking, well, that's pretty good. He's got two skill sets. He's a qualified a tax advisor, and he's also a solicitor that has an interest in property. So I go and sit down and have a chat with him, and I won't mention names, but he sits back and he tells me, Sydney's ready to boom. You need to get in the Sydney market. Now, I knew at that stage my interest in property was growing, and I knew Sydney was looking like it was going to be a strong market. So he had a look at my property in Melbourne and he said, oh, look, you know, this thing's cash flow positive. There's no depreciation in it. So let's just sell it and buy up here. And I thought, well, okay, well, you're the expert. You know, you're giving me the professional advice, so I'll go about and do that. So I put it on the market and I sold it for $167,000 5 years after I bought it. Now, the message there is that, you know, I'd get $600,000 for that property today. Mm-hmm. All I really needed to do was basically put maybe $40,000 or $50,000 into kitchen and bathroom and just tidy the place up and it would be a cash cow. And, you know, now fast forward 20 years and I'm sitting here sort of teaching other people how if you're actually in a positively geared property over a period of time, that's not a bad thing. And if you're paying a little bit of tax along the way, well, remember, we all want them to be positively geared when we finish up, you know, because that's our passive income.
So, Ben, that's a good point. So if you had a dollar for every time someone had said to you, geez, I wish I still owned the property that I had, like the one that you sold. Yeah. I mean, how many times do you reckon you've heard that? Hundreds, oh, right?
God. There's two. I've heard that one. I wish, and then, God, if I just now that I'm into it, I wish I had started earlier.
Mm.
That's the other big one. Mm. It's like, God, why didn't I start 10 years ago when I first thought about this thing? So whatever it was, life got in the way, or procrastination, or whatever. That they're the classics. They're absolute classics.
I think they're regular themes too, because as being a buyer's agent, and you're also a buyer's agent yourself. Quite often, you know, we charge a fee for what we do, and quite often we're up against an industry where most people can get information for inverted commas free. And, you know, people say, why would you use a buyer's agent? And I guess having done this myself for over 15 years, being an investor in that time, likewise with you, I generally find that people are going to pay, and it's their choice, whether they're going to pay in one of four ways. And you just talked about, you know, one of them when you said that people say, oh, geez, I wish I started 10 years ago. That's one of the ways they're going to pay. And maybe it's not 10 years. It might even just be 18 months or 12 months. But the challenge is if someone makes a decision today that they're going to buy an investment property and then they don't have the confidence to buy it and they don't end up buying it for, say, another 2 years down the track, the market doesn't care. It's going to keep moving anyway, irrespective of you buying. And so I think that's one of the four reasons, ways that people pay. The other one is buying the wrong asset. And, you know, you've said this many times to me where, you know, the minimum qualifications you need in this industry is a haircut and a suit. And that's all you need to do to be talking about property. And that's probably one of the, the charters of PIPA that you're the current chair of, is to create a minimum standard. But, you know, if you're buying the wrong asset, that's going to make a massive difference to you, because, you know, if someone's read a book or they've seen a seminar and they can just see the graphs that we put it up many times ourselves, that the difference between a property that performs an extra 2% or an extra 3% makes a massive compounding difference.
Massive. I mean, we do use that example. Let's, you know, Cranbourne, 1974, 22,500 median value. South Melbourne, 18,000 median household value. Fast forward to end of 2013, South Melbourne, 1,080,000 median household, and Cranbourne sitting at 322. Mm. Now, Cranbourne, 7%. So people are thinking, oh, okay, well, 7% plus the rental return, it's not bad. South Melbourne, 10.8% compounding return. So, you know, they're game changers. And those people who had the foresight to hold for the longer term and understand that is a good message. But back to your 4 points.
Yeah, well, I guess the procrastinating wrong asset, that Cranbourne, South Melbourne, is a great example. And it's kind of also a generational example too, because the baby boomers were largely wanting to move further and further out of the city so they get their plot of land. But it's changed. It's done a big U-turn. And, you know, it's all about land value rather than land content. But again, we can talk about that later. So it's procrastination, buying the wrong asset. The third one's paying too much. And we're very biased towards buying established properties. And again, that just needs more time to flesh that out. But ultimately, in our view, if you're buying brand new, from day one, you're paying too much anyway. And that's just no disrespect to anyone, other than the fact that the developer isn't going to take on the risk of turning the soil and bringing something out of the ground unless there's a return in it for them. And that return has to be quite handsome for them to take on that risk. So if someone's willing to buy something that's brand new, that a developer's prepared to take the risk on, in theory and in we see it in practice, they are paying too much. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, it's a generalisation, and that's what we've got to be careful on in terms of generalisations. But in reality, if you've got a medium or high density development, you've got to turn it over. Mm. You've got to get your pre-sales, and you've got to get a critical mass of volume. So what actually happens in that case is the marketeers step in, the project marketers have a go at it, and there is a margin allocated to that. Now, that's not coming off the price point. That's added to it. I mean, you know, a developer is not going to, well, a sensible developer doing sort of medium and high density stuff, they want to look at a 25 to 30% return on investment. That's a gross number. So in reality, if they've got to put another $25,000 onto each unit as a marketing fee to pay to someone to sell that property. And let's face it, they're selling the property. There's no recommendation, or the people who think that they're giving advice on that, whereas it's biased advice, straight up.
Absolutely. So it's conflict of interest.
Yeah, it is. So you know, as long as the consumer knows that, and it comes back to that point, you know, the point I want to make in regards to, you know, your 4 points is that I think a lot of people don't invest in property because they hear the horror stories, and they've got a fear of not, you know, not being able to trust someone, and it's a valid fear. I mean, 80% of the marketplace of people who are giving advice, maybe even 90%, are actually not qualified to give that advice, or it's a secondary skill set. And I'll go back to the example of that advisor that I spoke to, who was a tax advisor and a solicitor, and he's given me property advice. Now, you know, and fortunately, his other part, coming back to that story, the other bit of advice he gave me was to buy off the plan high rise and medium density apartments. Now, I ended up buying semi in Alexandria for $395,000 from the proceeds of the sale of the Bundura property. And, you know, that's now pushing upwards of $1 million. Mm. Today, whereas if I had bought into Moore Park or Legoland through that whole area there, you know, I was going to pay around, it was around $350,000 to $400,000 for a two-bedroom brand new apartment with all the bling. You know, those properties now are probably pushing $650,000, and I'm sitting on something, you know, hovering under just under $1 million. So there's a classic story of, you know, who did I take my advice from? What was their agenda? Now, this particular advisor, he didn't have an agenda. I don't think he was getting a kickback.
Yeah.
And mind you, there's your other problem. No one discloses when they are getting a kickback for the referral. But in reality, it's like, you know, if I had someone who was impartial, who was just giving me a set of fundamentals and advice, and that's what this podcast is all about.
Yeah.
It's about just saying to people, look, we've got nothing to hide. We've got nothing to sell you. We're just going to sit here and have a yarn. And hopefully get the message out there, and people can listen each week, or, you know, obviously listen to our previous cast. So I'm thrilled about being able to do this.
So am I, Ben. The first investor that I helped buy an investment property was in a suburb in Bentley in Western Australia. They bought it for $159,000. It was back in 1998. It was a three-bed, three-bath property, a villa in a set of six. And I can honestly say that at the time, I was just an enthusiastic amateur. I had the best of intentions. I had the best interests of the client at heart. But based on the information that I knew at the time, fast forward 15 years, I'm a much better advisor and property investor than I ever was back then. So I think that is the challenge with the industry, isn't it? It's full of, even if you took all of the sharks to one side and you put in the one camp, all of the people who had genuinely got the client's interest at heart, it really comes down to their experience and whether or not they're an enthusiastic amateur or not. Because at the end of the day, just because you live in a property and it's a basic survival need of shelter doesn't necessarily qualify you to know what makes an investment grade property or not, is it?
Yeah, and it's a good point. I mean, if I'm looking at my advisor and the people I'm going to take advice from, what I'm basically trying to do is I want to see how altruistic they are. In other words, how much do they really want to help me as opposed to what's their agenda? And if I can get a sense of their want to help me change my life, and they're the people that I want to talk to. They're not necessarily the ones I'm going to sit and say, whereas the other ones like, yeah, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and they're talking more about themselves and about what they've done. Yeah, I'm starting to think, well, is it all about me or is it all about the client? So I think it's really important for people to understand that if you can find someone who really feels like they've got your vested interests at heart, I think you're going to do well.
Yeah, Ben, there's a quote I've told you many times. I love this quote from Zig Ziglar, who's a motivational educator in America, and he says, you get everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what they want. And I think that's really that's the character of the advisor that you're looking for, because in our industry, there's a very good living to be had if you make sure you get good outcomes for your clients. So I guess so that really kicks off our opening podcast for this series. We're done already, mate. 15 minutes goes quickly, doesn't it? But I'm thinking,
we could talk about this all day.
Mate, we could talk for hours. But yeah. What I'm thinking is, what I picked up from you, one of the things you said before was two things. One, you said, geez, I wish I hadn't have sold. That first property that you bought, I mean, let's be honest, you sold it for $167,000, you paid $120,000. As a percentage, that's a handsome profit in 5 years. But you would have been, worth a lot more money now. But horror stories. We've got a few horror stories in the bank that we might be able to share with our listeners to talk about what they did, what they did wrong, and maybe use that as a lesson, so how they can make better decisions. But there you go, folks. The very first episode of The Property Couch. Tune in each week. If you like this podcast, please go to our Facebook page and give us a rating, and tell your friends about this podcast as well. But until next week, Ben.
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci. Thanks, folks.